rising.com.
This morning we're continuing in the Rising series that we've been in for quite a few weeks, and the topic this morning is a spirit of joy. Spirit of joy. Romans 15:13, we're going to start there. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound with hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound with hope. This particular verse has been kind of one that has been a favorite of mine for a while, at least in the last few years. It's actually one you'll see oftentimes thrown onto Easter and Christmas invites and that sort of thing, because it just, I don't know, there's something about a God of hope, a God of joy, and wanting that to be the experience for us. And the topic of joy, I was thinking about that this week, and it's like, who here really doesn't want to have hope or experience greater joy in their life? Anybody just totally filled up with joy and have no room for more? Yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't think so. Right? I don't have to spend a lot of time trying to convince you about the benefits of joy, or the need for joy, or the value of having a spirit of joy. Of course we want more of it. It's joy. But as I was prepping for the message this week, I had this kind of growing conviction or feeling that this message is actually a really important topic, because it matters, because it affects people on all different levels. It affects all kinds of people on all different levels. It matters because we will all have times when we're overwhelmed by pressures in life. We got times we're going to have to deal with the demands of our job, or the stress in our families, or the weight of a financial struggle. When we're going through difficulties in these areas or others, like how do we keep an authentic spirit of joy in us? How do we have that? It matters because we're all going to experience tragedy and loss in our life. When we lose a loved one, that's incredibly painful. When we're battling our own health issues or physical pain, that can be crippling. But can we still experience joy in that? It matters because, well, the world around us is looking to us as believers for a sign that this joy that we talk about, this hope that we supposedly have in Jesus, that it's actually real, that it makes a difference. A few weeks back, I had a difficult conversation with a guy whose family used to come here to Grace Chapel, before it was Portico, to Grace Chapel, and when they went through a split, bounced around to a number of different places, and finally settled on a local church, which was Christ the Rock, right? Our mother church helped launch us and that sort of thing, and this was a number of years ago. Finally settled in, started to get connected, and at that time, shortly afterwards anyway, was the passing of Pastor Bill, who took his own life. And that was a devastating thing for the community. We felt that here. We felt that throughout the Fox Valley. You know, we understand it was a battle with a depression, a clinical thing where treatment and meds just did not take a hold and didn't work. But despite that, for this guy and for his family, he was like, look, if God isn't enough for him, then what hope do any of us have? I mean, when devastation and tragedy hits us, can we still have joy? And I believe, and I think we probably all would say with all of our heart, that the answer is yes, right? Yes, we can have an authentic spirit of joy in every circumstance. We can have joy, but we often don't. We often don't feel like we have that. Like, why is it difficult for us as followers of Jesus to live with a deep, authentic, genuine spirit of joy in our life? Like, if we really believe it's available to us, then Why aren't we experiencing it? And I'm, as I'm asking that question, I'm not posing it hypothetically just to all of you. It's a question for me too, right? It's a question I'm asking for myself. I realize I'm not always a person who's just oozing with joy. I'm glad you didn't all laugh at that. So it means there's at least a little joy that you see sometimes, right? But I don't feel like I'm a person who's just oozing with joy. I mean, I'm not depressed or anything. Life is pretty good. I know Jesus. I have some joy. But I don't know, all the fullness of joy, like kind of the kind of thing that Paul's talking about, I don't feel like that describes me. There's times where I'm quite pessimistic. Like that'll be happening about 2:30 today when I'm watching the Bucks game. Right? Going to be very pessimistic. Same thing with, I mean, you grind your teeth. Oh, this is terrible. They're never going to win. But it's not just that. I mean, I have times throughout my week where something comes to mind and I end up stewing on things that have bothered me for sometimes years that I haven't been able to shake. Disappointments, people who have disappointed me, circumstances that have disappointed me. And I realize that's not good. Right? I realize that's not a good thing to be doing. I'm not trying to do that, but can't shake it. Right? I still do it. And I think the bottom line is that joy is not the word I would use to describe my demeanor. It's certainly not the best word. Right? Like I wish that I was more joyful in general than I am. I mean, anyone here this morning ever wrestle with that thought? A few? Mostly just me? Okay, whatever. Guess I'm preaching to myself this morning. Right? But come on back next week and we'll talk about like lying and self-deception. Message for everybody. Now, of course, we all wrestle with not having this deeper spirit of joy. Right? No, but none of us feel like we're content in that. So there's a few things that I want to share about joy this morning, and obviously it comes from a place of wanting this for myself rather than saying, oh, this is exactly how I've experienced it. But I believe it's going to be helpful for us this morning, and we're going to do our best to look to God's Word, of course, to lead and guide us through this, and But I want to say this before we dive in. I think one of the reasons this passage, Romans 15:13, has been a favorite of mine, in part, it's because it's not just a statement, it's a prayer. Right? Paul is praying to these believers in Rome. Rachel, could we put that back up one more time? That, right? He's praying for these believers in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope, right? May he do that. It's like a prayer. And while it was a prayer for these people, it is by extension in God's word, a prayer for us as well, right? So as we dive into the topic of this morning, let's pray that God would do something in our hearts this morning. God, you're a God of hope. You're a God of hope. And this morning, we want to pray that you would fill us up with joy and peace. And not just a joy for this moment, but an understanding or maybe some ideas of how we can carry a greater sense of joy in our lives. We long for that. We want that. We don't always know how it's going to happen, and we just ask for you to bring that about and move us forward in being more joyful people individually and as a community as a result of our time this morning. Thank you for being a God of hope, one who wants to give us joy. Help us to seek that out, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so spirit of joy. There's a lot of points here, but they're all pretty quick. All right, so first point, and the first two kind of go together. First point about joy. Joy is found in the presence of the Lord. Okay, joy is found in the presence of the Lord. Here's Psalm 16:11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Okay, now that phrase in there, that fullness of joy, In the Hebrew language, it's talking about having an abundant joy, right? An abundant joy. He says, look, you make known to me the path of life. In other words, you're leading me through this life. I'm walking it with you. If I'm walking it with you, when I do that, I find joy in your presence, right? In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And not only that, but there's this incredible eternity that waits for me. So there's this joy in this life right now and this joy in this life to come. So walk with the Lord, spend time in his presence, and the result is going to be abundant joy. Conversely, walk away from him, ignore him, reject him, forget about him, right? Take him for granted, forsake him, and you can expect you're not going to have it. You're not going to have that kind of joy. So the first thing is, joy is found in the presence of the Lord. And the second point, thing which is closely related, is this. Joy is something God produces in us when we abide in him. Right? So it's found in the presence of the Lord, but it's about abiding in him. Because joy isn't something we can manufacture on our own. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Right? Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Right? Joy is a fruit. And being that it's a fruit, it means it's something God has to do the producing of, not us. And yet there's a part for us. We've talked about this when it comes to fruit of the Spirit. And reflective in John 15:5, where Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Right? So we don't get more fruit in our lives, of course, by trying harder to make fruit. We bear more fruit when we abide more fully in Jesus, right? Connecting with him. He produces the fruit, but we have to do the abiding. That's our part. Okay? So we need to cling to, stay connected to him, so he can produce that joy in us. So, second point, joy is something God produces in us when we abide in him. Again, those two kind of go together. These next three also kind of go together, okay? Third point is this, joy is rooted in righteousness. Joy is rooted in righteousness. In Proverbs 10:28, it says, the prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. A pretty stark contrast there, but focus on that first part. The prospect of the righteous is joy. If you think about why that is, that was something that was stirring in my heart this week, but if you think about why that is, when you don't have to worry about your wrongdoing, you can live joyfully. Right? When you're right with God, you can live joyfully. When you don't have anything to fear, and you aren't guilty about anything, you can live joyfully. When you have a certainty, an assurance, or a security in your life, not only about this life, but about life after death, you can live joyfully. Right? So joy is rooted in righteousness. That's the first of the three. The next one is joy is an awareness of God's grace. Right? So it's rooted in righteousness, but we know that righteousness only comes from God's grace, as a result of God's grace. He's given us his son, Jesus. When we acknowledge our sin and receive the forgiveness and the mercy that comes through Jesus, then we can be declared righteous. We are reckoned as righteous. And that's only possible because of the grace that he's poured out to us. Now, it's interesting because there wasn't a Bible passage that I could grab onto that was kind of linking very specifically the word joy and the word grace. And that bothered me. Like, what's up with this? But there's something interesting here. There doesn't have to be a verse that links it together because those two words are actually incredibly closely related together. Right? The word for joy and the word for grace are basically similar words in the same word tree. So, charis is the word that is typically translated grace in Scripture. Kairo is the word that would typically be translated rejoice. So you've got grace and rejoice very close together. And the word kara means joy, but like properly, I think we've got the definition here, awareness of grace. Right? Joy comes because we have an awareness of grace. The words are so closely linked. There doesn't need to be a verse that tells us that. But we know that in our own lives, right? So joy is not only rooted in righteousness, but joy is an awareness of God's grace. And then the third point that links together is joy is in receiving salvation through Christ. Right? Joy is in receiving salvation through Christ. Like it's rooted in righteousness, it's aware of God's grace, but there's that like third step where we actually have to receive it for ourselves. So 1 Peter 1:8 through 9 says this, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's interesting that throughout this series, there's so much of what we have looked at that kind of very much comes back to look into the end of our faith, right? Ultimately, we have this incredible hope. And that's true for this as well. Joy is in receiving salvation through Christ. We have to believe in Jesus. And for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus and are living out their faith, right, there is this certainty that salvation is ours. And that salvation, that eternity in heaven with Jesus, is the end result of our faith. And because we have that destiny, we can be filled with what is described here by Peter as inexpressible and glorious joy. Right? So joy is receiving salvation through Christ. So those three things are also kind of linked together. The sixth point. Well, before I get to the sixth point, in Scripture, joy, we've just seen, is kind of linked to salvation, right? Our salvation. It's tied to the experience, the salvation that we experience for ourselves. But there's also a joy that comes as part of salvation for others, right? Those who come to faith in Christ through our efforts, right? It's not only our salvation that brings us joy, but it's the salvation of others that should do the same. And so this is the sixth point. Joy is the result of living for the cause of Christ and the sake of the gospel. Joy is the result of living for the cause of Christ and the sake of the gospel. This is the point for me that I was thinking about quite a bit this week because I'm like, I don't want to be making this up. I think that's true. I hear that. I read that. But is it really true? Like, what does Scripture have to say about that? I wanted to make sure it just wasn't some random thought that was, you know, just something I concocted. And we'll explore that in a second. But, you know, here's the reality. Unless we are highly engaged in the work of the gospel, I don't think we're going to experience the fullness of joy. Right? Unless we're highly engaged in the work of the gospel, I'm not sure we're going to experience the fullness of joy. Now, here's a couple of the scripture passages to consider with this. First one is Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It's a brief phrase we're looking at, but I want you to have the whole context of the passage, right? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Pay attention to this next little phrase. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, and this last part, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Okay? There's a lot going on in these verses. This is a loaded passage. You could spend all day breaking that apart. But in the middle of it is this idea that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. His joy that was set before him was us. Right? He did what he did for us, for you and for me. He gave his life and suffered on the cross for us. We were the joy. And he went to great lengths to do all this, not just because it was necessary, which it was, not just because God the Father wanted him to do it, which he did, but because of his joy, that we would be his joy. He found joy in bringing the hope of salvation to those who would believe. Right? So you're following me with that so far? He took joy in what he did because he knew the end result was salvation for you and for me and for anyone who would believe. If Jesus found joy in doing the work of offering salvation to others, doesn't it make sense that we'd find joy doing the same thing? Right, that we would find joy in sharing the gospel or working to that end? I mean, that's what it says at the end of the passage. He's telling us all this because he wants us to not grow weary or faint-hearted in doing that. To run our race, not grow weary or faint-hearted. Joy is connected to what we spend our life on. Like if we're chasing after things of this world, we can't have an abundance or fullness of joy. But Jesus' joy came from accomplishing salvation for us. Paul had a similar statement, right? He took joy in those he helped lead towards Christ. Listen to what he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you?" Right? "For you are our glory and joy." Right? He's talking about those people that he has come to help know Jesus. And he says, you're my joy. You're my joy. Those who come to follow Jesus through our efforts will be our joy. Just like the people of Thessalonica were Paul's joy, just like we are Jesus' joy. So we're going to experience joy when we're part of seeing those who are lost get found. We're going to have joy when we engage in the work of the gospel. We're going to experience joy when our efforts help someone else come to know Jesus. And so that's why that main point, that key point is there. Joy is the result of living for the cause of Christ and the sake of the gospel. And I want to say just a little bit more about this before we start to turn and wrap things up. But if we want to experience joy, we've got to be engaged in the work of the gospel, or we're not going to experience it fully. When we engage in things like praying for those around us who don't know Jesus, when we engage in sharing our faith with our coworker or our neighbor, when we invite someone to church or to a Remedy Drive concert, we're engaging with the work of the gospel, right? We can't control the results of what happens. We can't control whether they respond or not. We can't force someone to come. All we can do is step into it and let God do his thing. But we can take joy in knowing that as far as it depends on us, we've been faithful in trying to share the gospel. Right? We're actively engaged in the work of the kingdom. We're planting seeds. We're trying to water. It's God who causes the growth. But we're doing what we're called to. And then when someone we know, someone we love, or even someone that we don't know, when they do come to faith in Jesus because we were faithful, that should bring us incredible joy. That's what we saw with Paul. It's what we saw in Jesus. It'll be true for us as well. Okay, so that's the sixth point. Joy is the result of living for the cause of Christ and for the sake of the gospel. So let me just fly through those again. Joy is found in the presence of the Lord, and it's something God produces in us when we abide in him. It's the first set. The second set, joy is rooted in righteousness. Joy is an awareness of God's grace, and joy is receiving salvation through Christ, right? That's personal for us. But then the sixth point, joy is the result of living for the cause of Christ and for the sake of the gospel, right? It's not just about our salvation. It's about the salvation of those around us as well. Now, that's 6 points. And we were talking at home the other day for some reason about numbers and the significance in the Bible, and that's not a good number to have, apparently, of points. So felt like I needed to have one more. And so there's a 7th point, because that's like a perfect number, right? Now, 7th, and the thing I want to close with, really, the key idea for today that I hope we'll come away with thinking about is this. We must choose to embrace joy. We must choose to embrace joy. I think it's way too easy to be overcome by all the negative stuff. And then we'll miss out on the joy that God has for us. Right? Sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes we just aren't happy unless we're not happy. Right? Like if we don't have something to complain about, we're not good. Give me something to complain about. And even if that's not actually true, we still act like it sometimes for some reason. So often the first thing that comes out of our mouth in a conversation is something we want to complain about. Oh, did you hear what happened the other day? My kids didn't do what I told them. That's not news, right? Oh, my wife did this. Don't ever say that, guys. The barista screwed up my order. The bathtub is leaking. My car's in the shop because it broke down again. The woman I work with, she doesn't know what she's doing. The guy in the other car was such a jerk. The teacher did something so stupid. These politicians, all right, you get the picture, right? But other than that, things are great. We're joyful people. Like, how do you stay joyful when that's all we're focused on? Joy is available to us. We've seen that. We've read that. We've just hit all these passages. Real joy is like there for the taking, but you can't embrace it with open arms if you're determined to cling to all the negative things around you. Now, and I know that that sounds like the power of positive thinking, Eric, or like I'm speaking things into existence in the universe. Just choose joy. I know it sounds like that. There's a verse, by the way. We're going to get to that. It is a little more complicated than that, but it is about shifting our focus, right? What we're focused on. Like we can't experience or embrace joy if we're focused on our circumstances or the negative things in life. Right? James 1:2 tells us to count it all joy when you meet various kinds of trials. All these difficulties, we're supposed to count them joy, especially if it's some sort of opposition, right? Boy, that's crazy talk. So instead of complaining about it, we should be like, praise Jesus. That teacher did this dumb thing. No, not quite like that. But Philippians 4, and I don't have these verses on the screen because I didn't get them to Bob. But Philippians 4, you can write it down and look it up. Verses 4 through 9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Right? Paul instructs us to be joyful. Like, rejoice with rejoicing. Serious rejoicing. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Or we can be all focused on the circumstances and get all worked up about those things. But instead, because the word but is in there, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? Don't choose to dwell on those. Take your concerns to the Lord. Choose to embrace Him. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Like, He's going to give you that peace you're looking for. And then here's the end of that. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. All right, I'm going to read that again because that's pretty serious, right? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Right? Don't dwell on the negative things. Instead, let the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in Christ. That's what we're called to do. It's the perspective written here when Paul had when he went through all of these things like ridicules and beatings and imprisonments, snake bites and shipwrecks. By the way, that's going to be a message someday, right? Snake bites and shipwrecks. He went through all this stuff. And he says, look, think on the good things. Think on the good things. And here's verse 9 of that passage. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Right? You've seen this in me. Now you do this. Right? We have to choose to embrace joy. And so, you know, a question for this morning, what are you holding on to that is keeping you from experiencing and embracing joy? I've got a bunch of props up here, and I'm going to need a volunteer. All you have to be able to do is walk up here on stage and have some arms to hold something for me. That's all. I won't embarrass you, I promise. I need a volunteer. Don't pick the young guy just because you're all chicken. You remember what they say in school when you volunteer somebody else. Michelle will do it. Michelle will do it. Come on up. Thank you, Michelle. We could have been here a while. All right, all you have to do right now is stand right here. Can you hold that bag for just a moment? All right, I'm going to move this. All right. So really seriously, all you have to do is hold some things. And what I was thinking about this, like, are we willing, here's the question that I hope you'll kind of run with, are we willing to let go of the things that prevent you from embracing joy? Right? Because everything we hold on to, it kind of clutters us up. So imagine if you can, these are, I got a lot of soccer balls at home for coaching soccer, so I'm just using these. But imagine that this is discontentedness. You're discontent about something. Right? This is, whoa, this is grumbling. This is complaining. They're kind of the same thing, but not always. Right? Sometimes it's internal, sometimes it's talking to somebody else. This is angst and fear and frustration. We don't have any of that, right? If you hold all these, I'll be really impressed, by the way. Jealousy. Jealousy. Contempt. Anger. Should have picked a red ball for that. Bitterness. There you go. No, come on, hold on to that. Hold on to that. It's okay. Pride. We'll just stop there because I'm afraid of what might happen. if I give you any more. All right, so do you have the question up? Are you willing to let go of the things that prevent you from embracing genuine joy? Right, there is no way that we can hold on to all this stuff, and then here's joy. We want that too. See? It's joy. I was ready for that one. Joy is a big gray exercise ball. Right? Joy. We want to hang on to this. There is only one thing right now, if Michelle wants to grab on to joy, that she can do. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I used to be a youth pastor. right? That is all we can do. If we want to hold on to joy, if we want to embrace joy, we've got to let go of what's in our arms. The things that we're holding on to, our grumbling, complaining, discontent, angst, fear, you name it. There's probably way more than that. We have to choose to embrace joy. And that often means letting go of other things. So this morning, I guess that's my challenge. As we go through our devotions this week that we've been sending out, they will have to do with things like this. How do we embrace joy instead of letting and let go of the things that we need to embrace that instead? And I hope you'll leave this morning, first of all, with the thought of what is it that I'm holding on to that is preventing me from experiencing joy? Because there probably is something for each one of us. There might even be numerous things. And then just to ask ourselves, are we willing to let it go? Right? Are we willing to let it go? And by the way, I'm not trying to simplify some of the deeper things that we experience in life. I do want to say this, like, man, if you're battling through some heavy emotional baggage, depression, things like that, I'm not saying, oh, all you got to do is let it go and ignore it. We know that things are needed. There's counseling, there's help, there's things that God has put in place to help work through those things. But generally, I'm just asking you, are we clinging to things that we really need to let go of so that we can embrace the joy that God has for us? We're going to close our time in worship. I'm going to pray. And the team is going to lead us in a song that's, well, brand new. And it's a song called Joy. But I think you'll catch on pretty quickly. I just want to read that passage again from Romans and kind of make it the prayer for this morning. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may abound in hope. And here's that prayer. God, may you fill us. Because we know you are the God of hope. We want that hope, and we pray that you would fill each of us with joy and peace. We want more joy. We want that sense of peace. In believing, we believe in you. We truly do. We believe that you have this for us, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, we can abound with hope. And Father God, we pray that we would find joy in your presence, that you produce a greater joy within us. We pray we'd be people who rejoice, who find joy in the hope of salvation you've given us. And we pray we'd experience greater joy as we look to carry your name to those around us, to hold out the hope to those around us that you have to offer. But most significantly, Father, we ask this morning that you would help us to shift our focus and let go of anything which is hindering us from embracing the joy that you long to fill us with. This is our prayer this morning. We know you hear it. We trust you to answer. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.